Like to ask if you would to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 127. 127. Last week I preached from 126, so we're really making headway here. 127. Now I want you to make sure you hold that open because half of my sermon will be done before we get to read the scripture. All right? Aren't you excited about that? So listen carefully. We'll get to the scripture in just a minute when it fits in the right place there. As a congregation, we have what some might call a problem, a situation, or a dilemma in the church. So as your pastor, it falls to me to address this with you. Now, if you're a guest with us or new to us, do not lose heart. I'm not talking about a crisis, a catastrophe, or a conflict. However, I will be talking about money, so I will close my eyes for 10 seconds, no, 5 seconds, to give those that need a chance to run for their lives. All right, you're all here. Very good. Now, please listen carefully, but don't try to write all this information down. You just need this information before we proceed into what God's going to do about it. In our church, we have 4 major divisions in our budget. We have designated, missions, general, and debt retirement. The designated budget includes contributions from members toward things that are earmarked. For example, a student pays the fee to go to summer camp, or an individual buys a book to study about prayer on Wednesday night and lead you. Or a family gives toward a special church project, like when we ask for funds to help replace the roof on 2 buildings. The missions budget receives money toward special offerings, mission trips, mission projects. So when we have little blessings, consignment sale, those dollars are given to help our people go to Chicago or Honduras or the United Kingdom. And we also support mission action like Memphis Union Meals and Services, or Intensive Care Unit Saturday Prayer Times, or the Ministry of Teaching English as a Second Language to people who are new to our country. The general fund pays for utilities and salaries and literature and ministry insurance and all sorts of things. But today I want to talk to you about a part of our budget a lot of people do not realize we have, and that is our debt retirement. It provides for reducing the mortgage that we have on building improvements and additions over the years. I'm sharing this information with you because many of our members do not realize that we have debt. Most churches have debt. I don't like debt, but we have some. And to the best of my knowledge, of the larger churches in our area, we have the least amount. But the amount that we owe for our mortgage is $2.7 million. Our monthly payment amounts to $22,500. And to pay off the mortgage would take 12 and a half years and cost us $670,000 in interest. We've accumulated this debt over the process of 2 decades in the 1990s and the early 2000s. The community of Olive Branch was growing and the church was growing and the congregation responded in faith to provide for the ministries that we had with people. The Family Life Center was constructed. The Worship Center wing was added that we're sitting in now. And the Children's Building was built. And that has resulted in us having over 120,000 square feet of facilities, and we sit on 15 acres of property. This has allowed the church to provide ministry and to provide community activity even before the city of Olive Branch was doing so. All of us were not here during the building and growth phase of our church. And many former members who made commitment toward that debt are no longer with us. Many of them have passed away. Some of them have moved out of the area, and for needs of their families, others have joined churches in the area. It is my firm conviction that previous pastors, staff, and church leadership did their best to follow God. They were visionary, and they led the church in the same way that we are trying to do our best to lead the church today. And as a senior pastor, I have embraced our church situation. I have observed our community and the area around us as we are responding to the changes of continued growth and people moving further south and further to the east. And I have committed my life to staying with you as together we navigate through a new day. And above all things, I will continue to say this because I believe it, God has greater things in store for us, and I do not want to miss it. So instead of a problem, like I said some people might see, I see a great opportunity for us to see God at work among us. What some people see as a dilemma, I see as an opportunity for us to let God do His mighty work that we've been singing about. Now, our general contributions of tithes and offerings have stayed steady over the last 5 years, from year to year only fluctuating a percentage or two. This indicates that our people are consistent, generous givers. The problem has been that as leadership, we have failed to keep the congregation aware of and educate new people of the debt retirement program in which we're involved. Many of you years ago made commitments to help pay down that debt, but as those 3 years or 6 years passed by, nobody asked you to make those commitments again. And some persons have said, well, we are willing to transfer what we give to the general budget to the debt if you'd like for us to. But it will not work for persons to simply shift their current giving toward reducing the debt, because if we do that, we'll not be able to provide for the staff, pay our utilities, or maintain our ministries. We need dollars over and above our current giving to accomplish the goal. And during the course of the years that it will take us to eliminate that debt, other needs of maintenance and improvement are going to arise. That means we need individuals and families to give who have not been used to contributing regularly, and we need current donors to increase their giving to help us reduce that debt. Learning to give regularly and consistently is the first step toward stewardship. Tithing follows, and then some will give cheerfully even over and above their tithes. This over and above giving has allowed us to make some necessary improvements in recent years, like the dining hall, the gym, the FLC foyer, the cafe, the roof, the life house, the offices, and the worship center have all seen touches of improvement. I also want you to know that we have a wonderful finance committee. Through the years, we have been blessed in this church with men and women who have taken seriously that task for us. In my recent years of being with you, Nick Mullenix chaired the committee. When those members of that committee were fully understanding and taking seriously the financial condition of the church. Jason Boland led the committee in great strides toward stewardship in the 2 years that he chaired. And now we have Jack Brooks. He has taken the lead with an excited group of individuals who love the church and want to help us as a congregation to realize all that God could do among us. And along with me, they see a great opportunity out ahead of us if we will trust the Lord. So over the next few months, we will hear from them. We will see the results of some of their work. But I want you to know today that I speak on their behalf and in cooperation with them. If I say anything wrong, you can blame it on Jack Brooks. I'm kidding about that. Where's Jack, by the way? So, now that we're aware of the need, what in the world can we do about it? Anybody have a checkbook that if you wrote a check for $2.7 million, the bank would honor it? So let's read God's word and see, are we people of trust? Will we believe in God? Will we honor His word? So the good news is we're halfway through the sermon. I told you. Psalm 127. Let's read it together. Unless the Lord builds a house, its builders labor over it in vain. Unless the Lord watches over a city, the watchman stays alert in vain. In vain you get up early and stay up late, working hard to have enough food. Yes, He gives sleep to the one He loves. Now this psalm has some major lessons in regards to the family if you read the next three verses, it becomes even more clear. But tomorrow's devotion in our Psalms reading and study will deal with those aspects of how God calls us to trust Him in raising up a family. But there are some other lessons, or the same lessons really, that are applied in different areas of life that I want to talk to you about today. And I want to concentrate on those first three words. Unless the Lord. Have you gotten to the place in your life where you realize that any success you may have, you cannot have without the Lord, if you are His child? And so as a church, I want us to realize those three words are significant. Unless the Lord, we do not have a chance. So let's start out in three areas I think apply from these scriptural principles. The first is, unless the Lord changes our hearts. The Lord declared that anyone who tries to build, succeed, move forward without Him does so in vain. To be with Him, what does it mean to be with Him or have Him on our side? It means that we share His purposes, we conduct ourselves according to His principles, and we follow His ways. So as a church, I wonder, would you consider that it be worth asking ourselves, are we trying to succeed without God or without God's help? Just think about your own life. Did you ever try to do something on your own and fail? And then back up and say, I need God to help me do this. And in getting Him on your side and you committing to Him, then you were able to be successful. That's where we are today as a church. Being a member of a church has certain responsibilities. And among those is to give financially toward the ministry of the church. And the change of heart that we may need is first to be givers, second to grow toward tithing, and thirdly to become a generous giver. Now I was thinking, and others have mentioned to me as well, that some of our younger and perhaps newer members might say, well, we weren't here when the decisions were made to build these buildings. Why should we assume responsibility for helping to reduce the debt? Is that your question? Would you ask yourself that? In 1995, the messengers from 48,000 Southern Baptist churches across the country met in Dallas, Texas at the Southern Baptist Convention. That year, they approved a resolution apologizing to African Americans for the actions and attitudes of Baptists in the South during the years of slavery and civil persecution. Joyce and I were present at that convention. And on that proposal, when it came to the floor, I voted against it. Even though I was sympathetic toward and in agreement with the views expressed, I felt I was not responsible for offering repentance for previous generations of Southern Baptists. I didn't think it was my fault that they had sinned against God. I had not participated in slavery. I had not been involved in the industry. And I had not propagated offense of it in my church. Neither had I been guilty of racism or civil rights violations. But I later came to realize, after a change of heart, that I was wrong when I cast my vote. I realized that if I was to continue as a Southern Baptist, that I had to share and embrace both the future of our denomination and its past. I also determined to guard my heart against racism and repent quickly for those few times I let it creep into my life. And all I can ask is that you would at least seek God's leadership. If your heart is set against giving to the ministry of our church, if your heart is set against sharing in the responsibility as a member of our church in bearing the burden of reducing that debt, then all I can ask you is, would you ask God to examine your heart, and would you respond to the leadership He gives you? It may be that He will enlarge your heart to help bear the burdens and responsibilities of brothers and sisters which preceded us, or at least to grow in sympathy toward that situation. Would you understand with me that unless the Lord changes our hearts, what we would do would be in vain? Second lesson I learn in these verses is that unless the Lord provides the resources, we do not have a chance. He says, in vain you get up early and stay up late, working hard to have enough food. It's like you recognize the situation, and so you just double up your efforts to do even more and more. Like, that will solve all the issues. We could work harder, but if God does not provide the resources, the little extra work we might add to it would not be enough. You see, we not only need the Lord to bring adjustments in our feelings, thoughts, and the decisions of our wills for Him to change our hearts, we also need Him to help us realize that ultimately the resources we will need to eliminate this debt must be provided by Him. So you might say, well, okay, Pastor, my heart is right, but where am I going to get the extra funds to contribute to our ministry and to that debt? I've heard lots of comments through the years. People say, I am on a fixed income. I run out of income before I run out of month. I'm already doing all I can now, or I do not know where the extra funds will come from. Well, let me declare to you the truth from God's word. I know where the extra funds will come from. They will come from the Lord. Now, many times in my life, I have realized that when I made the right decision in my heart, that God helped me to be faithful to the commitment that I made. I have also, unfortunately, at times waited around for God to provide for a need that I had before I would make a commitment to Him about it, and the need continued while I languished in indecision. Anybody want to take that on with me? And I cannot tell you what you must do. That's not my role. But I would ask that you go to God in prayer with a willing heart to do what is right. Then trust God to help you. That is all that we can do. Maybe He will lead you to get your coffee at McDougal's rather than Star Buddies and contribute the difference. Yes, Tyler, I made that mistake on purpose. Maybe He will provide you with extra time at work and you might donate the additional income. Maybe when you ask God to provide, you'll pick up a part-time job or find some way to save on expenses. Maybe you'll inherit some funds, sell your baseball card collection, or wait to buy that new truck. Maybe you will decide to include the church in your will so that at your passing, you may be able to do more in stewardship than you were able to do while you lived. All of those might be ways or more that God could lead us in providing for the needs that we have. And remember this, if you're sitting there and say, I do not have much to give, God does not ask for equal gifts, but He does ask for equal sacrifice. And so if there is a young family that are struggling to pay their bills and raising three or four children, and they ask God and they give, and it hurts, it costs them to give, then those of us who have more resources where we are in life, we ought to make a sacrifice equal to those that we're asking to give up something that costs them. I remember the story of King David when he sinned against God by counting the population and his armed forces so that he would be convinced in his mind that he had enough troops to go to war when he should have been trusting God. And God called him on the carpet for that and said, "You have sinned by not trusting in me." And David went out to the country to build an altar and to sacrifice a bull on that altar and ask God to forgive him for his sin. And when he went out to the country, a farmer that owned some property came to King David and said, "Well, since you're the king, I cannot charge you for the land. I cannot charge you for the wood to build the altar. I cannot charge you for the bull. You're the king. You just take whatever you need." And David uttered some words that have stayed with us through the centuries because they are true. And the words that David said, "I will not offer a sacrifice to my God out of that which costs me nothing." Sacrifice must cost, but where will it come from? Well, I'm convinced that if we express to God our commitment, tell Him that we want to be on board with Him in the opportunity, He will help us to be faithful to it. And finally, the third thing that I want us to consider today, unless the Lord changes our hearts and unless the Lord provides the resources, but unless the Lord gives his blessing. In verse 2, it says, in vain you get up early and stay up late, working hard to have enough. Yes, he gives sleep to the one he loves. When I first read that, I thought, what in the world does that have to do with anything? How does that fit in here? And then it dawned on me. There's one thing certain for sure. When we have a problem that's too big for us to handle on our own, we desperately need God, then worry and fret should not enter into the opportunity. Are you with me? God grants sleep to those he loves. By that he means he gives rest and peace to those who are committed to him. When we commit our way and our life to the Lord and trust him, then we can rest well at night without worry and fret. And the individual or the family or the church who trusts God may work very hard to be faithful. But they do so within boundaries or limits, believing God will give the increase. This allows them to lie down at night and sleep well because God is at work even then. One of the Psalms that we read recently tells us that God does not slumber and God does not sleep. When you and I need our rest, God is still at work in his kingdom. One person said, work like it depends on you, but trust like it depends on God. I like that. The Lord gives contentment to the person who works in humble obedience to him. And to put it another way, if God does not bless us, no amount of work will accomplish his best. We must work and ask God to bless. And the goal will not be reached by you or by me, by just our personal efforts. God will need to show us favor as a congregation. And I started thinking, how could God work outside of our lives to show us favor in this great need that we have? Well, we should ask him to bless our facilities and our equipment so they might stay in good working order. I don't know how much you all want to know, your brothers and sisters with me in the church, but on Easter we had a great crowd in our balcony and most of them were way hotter than they wanted to be. Well, that's because the unit up there is broken. It was put in as a, what's the right word for it, a specially designed, uniquely designed, singularly designed unit for just that space. So to replace it, we can't just go out and buy some equipment from some manufacturer and stick it in there because it was made uniquely for that space. And to replace it, we will have to do the same. So if you want to be close to God, sit on the main floor. If you sit in the balcony, the heat of the sermon rises right straight up there, okay? That's all I could tell you. We should trust God over the economy, the banking industry, and our jobs. Have we yet learned that there are people in Jackson, Mississippi, and there are people in Washington, D.C., that make decisions that impact us? Rather than complaining about who they are, let's pray for the position that they're in and ask God to put his hand upon our country and bless us so that we might in turn be blessed. Is that fair? How about praying for the people who own the companies you work for? That God would guide our government, but also guide the businesses so that our personal finances and our jobs might be blessed because God is blessing. Everybody in this room better be praying for FedEx. If it goes under, Memphis and the surrounding area is up Salt Creek without a paddle. Right? I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm just trying to be real with you. And in the 5.5 years I have been here, a lot of you probably think, well, I don't even know him. I try to be as transparent as I can be as your pastor. And I like people. I love people. I have my faults. One. Don't talk to Joyce. The number will increase. Okay. Every time we've had a work day, I have been here. A couple of weeks ago, we had a work day, and Brother Bill came up to me and thank you, Pastor, for coming. And I said to him, well, this is my church too. I will be here when we have a work day. I don't do the things I do here because I'm obligated to do so. I made a commitment to Christ, and I've made a commitment to you, and I will give you all I've got. What have I held back from you? Well, I don't sing enough, as some of the senior adults would like to hear, and probably sing way more than some of the youth would like to hear. I try to teach you God's word as best with what skills he's given me, and sometimes that involves me dressing up in characters and costumes and trying to convey to you the spirit of that person. I never stand here and preach God's word to you in ways that feathers my own nest or builds me up or satisfies me. And the last thing that I want to talk about is money. But I want to tell you, I am so excited about our finance committee and the new heart that they have to help us. They didn't get there overnight. Previous committees have helped them move forward to that. But they are so excited about what God could do if we could pay off that debt and we're not paying out $270,000 every year to the bank. Oh, I love Bancorp South, but let them get their money somewhere else. What could we do? What if we just decided to pay for all of our teenagers to go on World Changers one summer? And they could see firsthand, what God could do in repairing senior adult homes in needy neighborhoods, building ramps up to their front door, putting new roofs on homes and of people who don't even know Christ, but they would give it a chance that summer to witness to them. Wouldn't it be awesome just to say, any teenager who wants to go, we're paying your way this year because those dollars are there. Wouldn't it be awesome? I don't know how far I want to go with this. To replace our vans with a really nice bus, send our senior adults every month to their luncheon and their prayer service, their worship service, with a little bit of comfort. Wouldn't it be great to be able to refurbish our youth area, our student building? It was built in 1961 and served faithfully for nigh unto however many years that's been, 39 and 17, almost 50 years or more. But students need adequate facilities to study God's word together. Wouldn't it be awesome? That's why I say it's an opportunity to see what God could do if we would commit to him and then trust that he will bless us and provide the resources. Now, I don't just say that flippantly because I want to talk you into something. I just have this weird knack of reading God's word and believing it. And I know that that Hebrew word that is translated vain in this passage means emptiness, senseless, and pointless. It refers to the utterly foolish plan of man to attempt to do something without God's power. That kind of thinking, God says, is foolish. You think you can build a house without God? That's foolishness. You think you can guard your city without God? That's pointless. You think we could pay off $2.7 million in debt that godly people believed long ago that we should enter into, and some of the people have not stayed with us and honored their commitments, but now we are here? How could we do that unless God is with us? Let's honor how God led a generation before us. Some of you are still here. And let's honor those that are coming behind us to get rid of that one hurdle that's keeping us from really moving forward. Now, today I'm not going to ask you on your way out to leave your purses and wallets and empty your pockets. That's not what this is all about. Because I'm not good enough to persuade you. I'm not wise enough to ask you what you should do. And I'm going to be making the same commitment with you. So what are we going to do today? I'm going to ask you to make a commitment. Something like this. God, that's a big debt. All of us could work a little harder, but even then, Father, we wouldn't be able to accomplish it quick enough. So, Father, would you show us how strong you are by us committing to you? Maybe taking on a little hurt, something that cost us in terms of sacrifice, but then being able to sit back and watch how quickly that debt is reduced. Man, what excitement, God, you would send among our congregation. What freedom we would have to do missions and ministry without having to worry about asking the bank if it would be all right. Dear God, could you work in our lives in that kind of way? And then ask him to work in your heart. And whatever commitment he leads you to make, to provide the resources in some way for you to maintain that commitment. And then ask him to bless us. Now, I'm going to grant you that I am a human being and I am frail and weak. And I may have said some things wrongly, or I may have offended somebody because I didn't state it the right way, and I apologize. But I'm begging you, let us not just take this sermon as one that's given in the course of a year. Would you please take it to heart and repeat back to God, unless you, Lord, we will not be able to see victory. He needs to hear that from us. Let's pray. Father, I thank you in this room for my friends, people that we have prayed together, and we have studied together, and we have worked together. We have striven together. And I pray for them as well as for myself, for my wife, my family, Lord, that we would be willing to ask you to challenge us to be a part of what you want to do here. Lord, I pray that my own heart and mind will think more about the opportunity and the blessing that's coming rather than the weight or a burden upon us. Lord, I want to honor those pastors and staff and leaders who went before us and trusted you, trusted the commitments of the congregation. And now here we are in a new day to make a new, fresh commitment. Maybe not today, maybe a month down the road, or even if several more weeks past that before we'll make a final commitment. But Lord, today we want to say we'll pray. We'll start the process of asking you to change our hearts, to grow us. Where we have thought one thing and we need to think differently, change the way we think. Where we've held on to past bitterness or grudges and we need to let them go, change our hearts. Where we have been afraid to trust you and to step out in faith, would you grow us? Let us really become people of faith. Would you heal the hurts that we have between one another, relationships that may not be right, that are standing in the way of us moving forward in your blessing? Lord, I don't know what all the needs might be, but I can imagine there's a whole lot of work that needs to be done in us before you are able to work through us. Would you start that today? In the blessed name of Jesus, this Savior that we say is more than enough, this God that is our great God, Heavenly Father, now help us to live out what we say, what we sing, that we believe. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.